Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you all. Please turn to Psalm 77, if you have that. Please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Psalm 77, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. I cried out to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. My spirit was overwhelmed, Selah. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes its diligent search. Who will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my anguish. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your works and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you, they were afraid. The depths also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Your arrows also flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. This is a beautiful and incredible psalm, like the entirety of the apples of gold of the word of God. And as we read the words of the psalmist here, brothers and sisters, we resonate to these words, don't we? Because we've all been here. We have experienced bad news. We have experienced, as the psalmist says, a troubling day. Maybe a season even of feeling worn down in life, unsure of what to do next, unknowing what tomorrow will bring. And so it is a heartache that sometimes can be so intense that, as the psalmist says, our souls refuse to be comforted. But we cry out to God, and we remember. We remember our God and remember his good works. So let us now dive together into this eternal, inerrant, life-giving truth and be fed. Let's pray. O Holy Spirit, would you now please illuminate our hearts, rise our soul up, lift our hearts, our wills, our minds, affections unto you, and, teach us your truth. Amen. Now, as I mentioned, this psalm begins with a crying out to God. Have you cried out to God in the day of trouble so that despite unexpected news or a change in life or even the continued marks of God's redemption by sustaining a church for 10 years, we're exhorted in the Word, in Christ, to be steady, to be grounded, to be grateful, and to rest in the living hope of our Lord and Savior. By faith, we remember our God. Now, before I go on, I want to share with you an amazing work of the Spirit. I wrote this about 2 weeks ago, and for many of you who were here yesterday, you remember that your pastor, Clark, brought forth a scripture in addition to his exhortation, and actually I noticed it was also at the end of the slideshow. But that was 1 Corinthians 15:58. And interestingly, by the work of the Spirit, this is a text which I have chosen 2 weeks ago to call upon as well to help us to draw out Psalm 77. These things are amazing, aren't they? These are amazing works of the Spirit by which we praise God and we rejoice. Amen? So let me just read to you 1 Corinthians 15:58 once again. It's a very encouraging yet challenging admonition for us, isn't it? Let's see. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Amen. These admonitions are very important for us today, aren't they? Be steadfast, immovable. There's a grounding, a steadiness, a faithful, measured response because the world around us is seemingly spinning out of control, isn't it? Particularly recently, it's chaotic, it's irrational, it's confusing sometimes. Now combine that with the continual tug of the flesh and the lies of the evil one, and this can be a tumultuous ride. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you in Christ that we are to be steady. We are to be, by Him, those who are stable, who are not changing and shifting back and forth, up and down, but well-rooted, firmly planted in Christ. Let the changing seasons come. Let the winds blow. Let the unexpected news arrive. But indeed, we grieve and we cry. But the key for us today is to remember that who we are as the redeemed children of the King, blood-bought, called-out, chosen, grace-laden saints, how do we respond? Now, back in Colorado, I noticed our forests are very different than your forests here. We can look out and you probably have a variety, maybe a dozen different types of trees, but our forests in Colorado pretty much have one kind of tree in them, at least in the area that I live in, that's the ponderosa pine. It's quite an amazing tree. It's about as tall as some of these, but it's really that one variety of trees. Now, there's a little bit of differences between South Carolina and Colorado, but we do have trees. But these trees are actually pretty amazing. Let me tell you about them for a minute. They can grow about 200 years old, but they grow very slowly. In fact, I have one in my yard that is 8 years old, and it's about this tall. They grow extremely slowly because, although it's been raining here, I just noticed, it doesn't rain in Colorado very often. We're in quite a bit of a desert. But what's amazing is that these trees can go for months, 5 months, without any rain and be fine. They can sustain 60-mile-an-hour winds, and we get a lot of wind in Colorado. And what's neat is as the wind blows on them, something incredible happens. Those harsh winds trigger in them a chemical response by which the trunk kind of bulks up. And also, it sends these chemical receptors to the roots. It says, guys, we got to go deeper. And they grow deeper and stronger. And our soil there is terrible. It's extremely compacted, and it's very rocky. So this is hard work. But the roots just grasp onto this, and they are so much more anchored and strong. And so, by the time these trees are 80 feet tall, well, they are incredibly strong. And they are incredibly rooted in the ground. In fact, we have forest fires. You may have seen them, but those in the news in Colorado. And these forest fires will rip through a ponderosa pine forest. But those trunks, although charred and scarred, will stand for 20 to 30 years because they're so hardy. And so, dear ones, it is with that when we face trial, difficulty, winds, a new season in life, we dig deeper into the Lord's grace, His mercy and nourishing truth. We grow deep in faith, steadfast, immovable roots into the rock of our salvation. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Now let's take a look at Psalm 77, starting in verse 1. I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and He gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Here the psalmist is coming to a day of trouble. And he is indeed grieved for whatever trial he is facing. Again, the grounding question for us today is, how do we respond to the bad news? Because the Christian life is not one of an up and down roller coaster of emotions, where every circumstance is slotted and categorized as good or bad. No, no, no. Because in the Christian faithful walk, we're not a roller coaster, but there is a joyful, sober, meek, yet bold mind who is set upon Christ, because we're waiting. We're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. His mercies bestowed upon you, the trials you encounter, tailor-fashioned just for you, just at the right time, so that you may be perfectly refined according to his grace, unto the conformity of Christ, and all of our blessings, like 10 years of a church, praise be to God, are just here for you. Because our Lord is sovereign over all, isn't he? From our confession, the creator of all things doth uphold, direct, dispose, and govern all creatures, actions, things, even from the greatest to the least, by his most wise and holy providence, according to his infallible knowledge, and the free and immutable counsel of his own will, to the praise and glory of his wisdom, power, justice, goodness, and mercy. Amen. So let's look at how the psalmist responds in this day of trouble. First of all, note, he goes to God. He does not turn to man with his sorrows, does he? He goes and he runs to the Lord. It's very instructive for us today. Very important to remember. Because the world will tell us, run to your psychiatrist. Or run to Google and find the most instant relief for your troubles. But we, as the redeemed ones of God, we go to the source, we go to the fountain, we go to the well of life and light, of truth and all knowledge. Secondly, let humility do its perfect work, amen? When we get troubled, when life doesn't conform to our expectations, when things change, in those moments, we need to be on guard for a pride that can spring up, for a sting of faithlessness. Because often, let's be honest, brothers and sisters, we work hard. We plan. We save, don't we? And we kind of expect some kind of outcome from that. Oh, but God has so much more. So much more than the work of our frail hands. Be blessed. Be assured, brothers and sisters, whatever he brings you will be just what your Father in heaven knows you need. So let us be humble and meek before the one we serve. For the heart of man plans his ways, the Lord establishes his steps. We need to reject a fear of troubling times, and with a sound mind in Christ, that he is in control, he is sovereign, he is providentially orchestrating the universe, and so it is by his definition of what is good that we must take on. Who are we? Who are we to kick against the faith-building, refining plans of our God that he's laid out for us? Oh, the depths and the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has become his counselor? Who has given to him? And it shall be repaid to him. For of him and through him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So may we rest humbly, contentedly on our God. Thirdly, we see how the psalmist cries out, and he cries out in prayer. Brothers and sisters, I hope that your life is a life of prayer, that you even example this upon a moment of calamity in your home. We go to prayer. You cannot imagine the foundation it sets up in a child's life, even. Fathers, mothers out there, may this be your children's default as they see it exampled in the home. Amen. Something happens, it's to prayer we go. We have nowhere else to run. We have nowhere else to go. We go to our God. And the peace that that brings, by not fretting, but by taking it to the Lord. I was sharing, my son was bit by a rattlesnake very recently, about a week and a half ago. And the question is, what do you do then? What do you do in that moment? Because the world, and I think it's fairly instructive and practical, is to call 911 immediately, which I did. But first, I appealed to the maker of 911 and the maker of the snake. And it's such free access, isn't it, brothers and sisters? It's there. He is available all the time. So that may that be our communion with our God, too. Have you ever considered the incredible power that there is in prayer? For example, let's just take one example. We know that there's brothers and sisters around the world that are being persecuted right now. All around the world. Persecuted Christians. What can we do for them? We could say, Lord, would you comfort and bless and be with our brothers and sisters around the world right now? Amen. Compare that to us trying to figure out how to just find them and maybe write them a letter of encouragement, getting all those addresses, even finding out where they are in the far corners of the earth. Oh, what a logistical nightmare. But we can just pray through our God, and He blesses and encourages. He hears our prayers. Amen. This is incredible. E.M. Bounds, man of prayer, spoke this well, saying, our praying needs to be pressed and pursued with an energy that never tires, a persistency which cannot be denied, and a courage that never fails. Step forward in faith into prayer, into the engaging, active work of God. Prayer is critical. Fourthly, we go to our God in faith. Look at verse 1. Again, I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and He gave ear to me. Oh, what a faithful response. May we be faithful in all that we do. God hears our prayers, brothers and sisters. Faith, it's a requisite in everything we do. And like the psalmist here, I encourage you to proclaim your faith. Just as in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. We proclaim faith in all areas of life. We cannot just casually waltz through a season of life. You must walk the life of faith. And in all things, proclaim by our lives and declare that faithfulness of God. Speak it out. Say, Lord, this is a difficult circumstance. This is a changing season of life, but you hear my prayers. Isn't this better than running to Google for the answers? Or maybe even waiting to see your spouse or your friend so you can offload your burden onto them? Faith, the most essential ingredient to our foundation of salvation, because we will see it sets our trajectory for our outlook, for the next step that we'll take, for how we'll communicate to our family. So we're always of good courage, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. This is the repeated admonition to us, that by faith we look up and set our mind upon things above. By faith, we ask for help when we need it. By faith, we bear one another's burdens. By faith, we forgive. By faith, we receive. By faith, we are steadfast and immovable in times of shifting sand, because we're anchored and we are grounded in that bedrock of Christ. Hebrews 6 reminds us of this precious anchor, that we who have fled for refuge might have a strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor for the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. And you get, once again, that picture of access to our God. And with faith, verse 2 in our psalm leads us to the very core of this entire psalm. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. Yes, we go to God. We go to Him in prayer all night if we must. And this, you know, you've experienced this. Maybe many of you have awakened at night thinking, Lord, why am I awake? I need to get up and go to work in the morning. Why am I awake or 2 a.m? I don't need this right now. But your Lord knows you need it. These are the faith-building times. These are the sweet communion times with our God that we must engage. So I encourage you, don't take the sleeping pills and go back to sleep. Or don't succumb to my temptation, well, it's time to get up and go to work. No. Just be with the Lord. Rest with Him. Cry out to Him. I'm reminded from the Christian education time this morning. It was a very encouraging time. I'm very thankful for you doing that. But reading, we read from the Catechism, number 86, what is faith in Jesus Christ? Amen. Faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation. Are you resting in Christ? I mean, have you ever tried to rake the lawn and sleep at the same time? It's hard. You must put the rake down, brothers and sisters, and rest. Rest in Christ. We know what rest is. We like rest. May your soul find rest in Christ. And so now, we see in verse 3, the psalmist walks this life. I remember God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart. My spirit makes diligent search. In his time of grief, the psalmist tried to remember God, but he was troubled. He was troubled. His mind seeks and searches for a good remembrance, but in his weakness, all he can recall are the challenging times, the difficult times, the strain. While he strove to remember his God, his thoughts only fastened upon God's justice and wrath and dreadful mercy. These memories, in fact, became a terror to him. So this remembrance did not bring comfort, but he said instead his spirit is overwhelmed. Because we remember, we must remember by faith. And in faith, looking to the faith, that rest we just spoke of. So the psalmist now goes on, unfortunately, in this path, going from just unsure of what to do, of memories that didn't go according to his plan, to the complete depths of faithlessness in verse 7. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased? Has his promise failed forevermore? Darkness and having no light. Oh, not those faith-filled words of before. God has heard my prayer. But this is a reality that many of us are tempted to walk. Sometimes we walk through the valley of the shadow of death to see more clearly that there is nothing to fear and that God is with us. Isn't this even what our Lord Jesus Christ was up against in the garden? In his night of anguish, when the disciples were sleeping, you remember that? For it was our Lord. This was it. This was the time. He's going to take upon the sins of the world, the sinless lamb who would be broken and bleed, the torment. Certainly a soul straining to be comforted. Jesus said, Simon, you're sleeping? Now? Could you not watch 1 hour? Oh, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Indeed, our flesh is weak. And this is our temptation. The accusational devices of the evil one. Where's God? He must be gone. His mercy has stopped. His tender mercies you will receive no more. But in our day of trouble, we may be tempted to think that God has abandoned us and left us, that the covenant of grace has failed us. But we must not give way to such temptations. These faithless thoughts are the unstable ground of trusting in our expectations and not remembering rightly with faith and hope and expectation. So how do we remember rightly? It's a question of what we are hoping in. Are we hoping that my plans go right? Are my expectations to be met? Oh, I hope I get that job. I hope I get married soon. I hope my candidate gets elected. But we must look up and say, "What, Lord, what am I truly hoping in?" My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust even the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And the doubts of God and his faithfulness that spin through our mind are sinking sand. From a weakness of faith in a mind that is not set upon the will of God, but is conforming to a broken and lost world. But it is here. It is at this place upon which we see the rock of our salvation, where faith prevails, where the conviction of the Spirit and God triumphs, and where we realize that our God is with us. We remember God with hopeful hearts, with living hearts. We have a God that is not passive and reserved, brothers and sisters. No, he is advancing. He is increasing. He is building. He is continually raising to life, moving forward, strengthening. This is the great work of our God that we look forward to with anticipation. You see, our remembrance calls us forth to look forward to what our God's going to do. Brothers and sisters, this is not a dead, old, faded hope in which we trust in. It is a living hope. Blessed be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, who has begotten us again to a living hope. Living hope. Whenever you say hope, you should always put that word living in front of it. That's what I tell my kids. You're not allowed to say the word hope unless you say living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Praise be to God. Do you see the connection? A living hope, a remembrance that we have been called to this inheritance. And what an inheritance it is. An inheritance that no man could ever save up because it's incorruptible. It never fades away. And this is the difference between remembering a nice memory in the past to remembering the works of our God. And this is exactly where the psalmist goes now in verse 10. And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. And so by faith, we look up and declare the truth. Yes, we turn away from doubting, but we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We declare that all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. We must remember with the steadfastness, with that immovability, that always abounding in the work of the Lord. For our God is not a God of backward regression, but a God of forward momentum and increasing and building and sanctifying. This is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Let's take a look for a minute. And incredibly, your pastor Clark did this as well yesterday. Let's take a look at what this word remember, remembrance, in the Hebrew means. Zakar, if we were to say it in Hebrew. We think of this word remember, and we think a good memory. Like you remember when we went horseback riding years ago? That was good. But it's so much more than that. This word is not passive like that. It's very active. It's very powerful. It's very strong. Literally, it means to collect or gather up and to build a monument. That takes work. You can't do that on the couch. Sharing stories. There's an active sense to it. This is exactly the tone of the word is to build, to actively engage, to assemble something. And I think we have a picture of that because there are monuments that we build in this country for significant acts that we remember. We must live a life as a monument to God of his testimonies. Amen. And so it's so much more than just a consideration or a good memory. But there is a proclaiming, not just through our mouth, but a proclaiming through our life of God's redemptive work. And isn't this what we're called to do, brothers and sisters? We, a chosen generation, a holy priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. May we engage wholeheartedly and remember the works of our Lord. May we remember our God anchored in the truth. Ladies, you may be familiar with Proverbs 31. And what does it say? She shall laugh at the days to come. For you, my sisters, are not standing on a sure and steady confidence in yourself and what you have achieved in the past, but on what your God has done in the past and what he will do in the days to come. So, brothers and sisters, we find hope in the present for remembering what God has done in the past, so that God's redemptive works of righteousness throughout past times may be a balm for a restless soul today. And dear family, there's a steadiness here, isn't there? There is that immovability, a great peace for the incredible redemptive works of God. Let us continue in verse 12. I will also meditate on your work, talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the people. You have with your arm redeemed your people. So the remembrance of our God is much more than a mere memory, but is a continual meditation upon his works, talking of his deeds, celebrating his tender mercies that have not ceased, as you have all done here, the 10th anniversary of this church. And I must say, my heart is so full from the celebration yesterday and just to be here with you all. Do you see? Can you step back and see what God has done? Look at this. This is the body of Jesus Christ, his bride for whom he died. A decade. Praise be to God. Just to sustain us. Do you see God's grace to sustain us one day is incredible. 10 years. Praise be to God. Are you ready for the next 10 years, brothers and sisters? I'm excited. This is our call. This is our focus by faith to remember God's saving work and then step forward in expectation, in anticipation of what he'll do next. Trusting, believing, expecting something great from our great God. I mean, are there other gods who are doing what our God is doing? Other gods that know us so intimately, who love us, care for us, have always been there for us? Are the gods of money and power and status? Do these false gods love us? No. And they don't do anything compared to our great God. So we turn from our temptations of doubt to remembering his mighty works. As Matthew Henry said, the remembrance of the works of God may be a powerful remedy against the distrust of his promise and goodness. For he is God and changes not. God's way is in the sanctuary. We are sure that God is holy in all his works. God's ways are like the deep waters which cannot be fathomed, like the way of a ship which cannot be tracked. We remember and we proclaim the works of our God. We speak light into darkness, and the anxious thoughts, confusing situations, fade away as we gaze steadily at our Lord. Continuing in our text in verse 16, the waters saw you, O God, the waters saw you and were afraid. The depths also trembled, the clouds poured out water, the sky sent out a sound, your arrows also flashed, the voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind, the lightnings lit up the world, the earth trembled and shook, your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, your footsteps were not known, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. This psalmist now dives into recounting the innumerable glorious works of our God. His strength and might are declared. The seas obeyed him. The earth trembled and shook. He led his people like a flock. So three considerations by application for us today. As we consider how the psalmist, and as we, should step forward in faith and engage in the remembering of our Lord. Firstly, do you see the contrast? Do you see where our psalmist has come from? How did we start this psalm? A soul in anguish, unable to be comforted, pinned down by the repressive thoughts and lies of the evil one, to a faith-filled expression for the hope of God in the present by remembering his faithfulness in the past. You see that faith proclaimed here again in verse 19. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, your footsteps were not known. Do we really understand the incredible works of our God? Did he even make us and shape our minds to comprehend what eternity is? I mean, it must stop one day, right? It can't go on surely forever. Why? fly by in his tender mercies. He even saves us from dangerous situations we put ourselves in, by which, normatively, we should have died. But he rescued us. And by his grace, he not just preserves a church, but he establishes and grows it in faith. And we say, glory be to God. Consider the beautiful hymn we'll sing here later. Who has given counsel to the Lord? Who can question any of his words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold our God. Secondly, he recounts covenantally. He recounts corporately how God moves among his people. We are his children, the people of his pasture. And so what this is telling us is that when our brother Joshua praises God and God works in his life, we can all rejoice. We can all praise God for the works of God, not just in Joshua's life, but in all of the work of God's hand. Because this is a corporate work he's doing, a covenantal work. He has built this church for 10 years. This is a great work on which we actively remember. It's so encouraging to me, brothers and sisters. I do look forward to what he'll do going forward. And as we declare the great works of our God, so many incredible works of our God contained right here in this word, you could spend a lifetime recounting just what's here. So just as one example, may I give one? May I share one with you? Because it's so encouraging to my soul. Pastor Clark did this yesterday. I've prepared as well. Because we see the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just recount the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word. He's manifest all over the Word. Lord Jesus, we see you in Adam, the first Adam into which death entered, and the Christ, the second Adam by which all were saved. We see you, Lord, in Abel, as the first to suffer for righteousness' sake. We see you, Lord, in Noah, entering the ark of salvation as a saving unto them. Secure in the ark, we are secure in Christ. We see you even in Jacob's ladder, how you gave us a connection with the living God in heaven to us on earth. We see you in the Passover lamb. Christ is our redemption, knowing God's salvation. We see you, Lord, in the 40 years of manna, how today you are our life, our food, our daily supplication, the bread of life. We see you, Jesus, in the rock from which the waters flowed. For today we drink of the same spiritual drink from which waters of living flow. We see you in the temple, God's dwelling place, for now in which we enter into in Christ's shed blood. We see you, Lord, in Joseph, who suffered unjustly, but then was exalted to save his people. We see you in Moses, the mediator between God and his people. We see you in Joshua, who would lead God's people to the promised land. Oh, and we could go on, couldn't we? Amen. Thirdly, we see that the work of our God goes on today, indeed here in his redemptive history, but also in our lives, for we are his people. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Indeed, he led his people like a flock, and he continues to today in each one of our lives and our families and our churches. Countless are the redeeming works of our God. You have this whole book in the Word of God, but you have your testimonies. You have your individual ways in which he has redeemed and glorified. And we must look to this. We must proclaim it. We must speak it. We must pray it. So may we step forward in faith and actively remember the work of our God. May we go to our God. May we let humility do its perfect work. May we cry out to our God in prayer, and may we do it in faith. For we're not seeking an earthly relief to our sorrows. No, we are proclaiming the good works of God, the God of Abraham, the God of Joseph, the God of our brother Larry, right? The God of our brother Jonathan. Our God. God's work in your life is something we must recount. We must proclaim. We must testify to. For do you see that this is what is lasting? This is what is lasting. This building one day may fall away, but not this church. share in this eternal glory. And because they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. By the word of their testimony, they overcame. And if that were not enough, remember the providential, all-sovereign work of our Lord that is so tailored, so specific in our lives, woven together for his glory, our sanctification, that we may talk of him all the day long. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us before the foundation of the world, to the praise of his glory and grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you to lean confidently upon remembering our God, that active, building, engaging work. Remember with the mind of Christ. Remember in faith. Remember the wonders of our God. Remember expectantly of what he'll do. We must have faith. We must pray. We must remember our God and know it is a work of the Holy Spirit that will draw this out within us. What an incredible gift we have, not driven by the winds and waves of the day, but steadfast and grounded to the active remembrance of our God. This is our life. This is our story. This is the walk that we have. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Brothers and sisters, remember the works of our Lord. Meditate on his deeds. Speak of them to your family, to the church, to the lost. For there's no God like our God. There's no circumstance or bit of bad news that will throw this train off of its tracks. No, dear family, we are immovable. We are grounded. We are trusting in the Lord, remembering him, declaring his truth. So, when the winds come, let the roots grow deeper. Let them cling fast to that rock. I encourage you to go right to prayer, to remember the works of our God, to make them your constant companion, so that this steadfastness, this immovable mind, always set upon the things above, will guide you and direct you into the great works of our God for what he'll do next. Think on God, dear family, who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, that with him he might freely give us all. O great and glorious God, we thank you for this precious word you've given us today. O God, we desire all the more to remember your great works. And Lord Jesus, we pray that this would be an active step of faith in which we call unto you. O Father, would you bless now this word, and would you stir it up in our hearts, that would not be one which we forget, but through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, would it build and strengthen and prepare us for your great glory. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.